to the Beth Yeshua Podcast. For teachings and more, go to www.bethyeshua.org.
The continued prayer that God would say what he has to say, that his will would be done. Holy Spirit of the living God, you are welcome. You are welcome in this place. You are welcome to come and to move me, and not just me, but all of us. Me, that I would speak what I'm supposed to speak and nothing else, God. And in all of us, so that our ears would be opened, our spiritual ears, God. That your Spirit would penetrate into the deepest parts of us and move us towards love and intimacy with you, God. That your word would come and renew us and refresh us and restore us and wash us clean of all of the lies of this world. God, we say no to the lies of this world. We say no to the lie that life is about us, that life is about our desires and our will. We say that it is about you, God. You and you alone are to be glorified in this place. We say no to the lies of the busyness and the hurriedness and the distraction of this world. And we say yes to you, to your still small voice, to the quiet to listen to you. Yes, yes to your voice, God. Just over a month ago, I gave a message, and I basically said Messianic Judaism was created and founded in intimacy with the living God. In the 60s and the 70s, you had Jewish boys and girls who had grown up, some of them in traditional homes, some of them not, and they found a living and real and active God. They found a God that they could have relationship with. And I said, we need to take our movement back. We need to say that the purpose of Messianic Judaism is intimacy with God. And Dave Garrett was there. That's Moose, for those of you who know him. A longtime friend of our family from Camp Gilgal and other things. And he came up to me and he said, that's not just a message for Beth Yeshua. It's a message for the entire body. It's a message for the entire body. And you know, the funny thing, guys, is that I think that it's twofold. First of all, we just waste our time. If we're here for any other reason, we're just wasting our time, right? And that's silly. Like, why would you get all dressed up and come to a place to waste time? And then the second part is that when things begin to drastically change in this world, because I believe that they're going to, we want to be so intimate with him that we know his will, that we know his voice, that we know him face to face. I mean, imagine what it would be like, right, if we actually had to gather in secret, if we had to pass notes to each other to actually be able to find each other, to come together, if we didn't have a building, if we didn't have a projector, we didn't have a sound system, we couldn't even use instruments, would we still even be able to worship together? How many times have you talked with a person and they said that they just couldn't worship because of X, Y, or Z today? That's foolishness. All of our life is worship before a loving God. And so when things begin to change at Beth Yeshua, when things begin to change in the nation of the United States, when things begin to change worldwide, because I believe that there are large changes coming, you want to be in intimate relationship with God. You don't want to come on a Shabbat to find out what Josh thinks you might should have to do. You want to be walking in step with the living God. And it's not even just about fear, guys, because this is the only way to live. It's not just about the future when things are terrible and if we don't go right or left that we will die. It's not just about fear. It's about this is the only way to live. This is the only, he's worth it and nothing else is. Whatever else we're wasting our time on rather than being connected into the vine is death. Amen. So, it's not just about fear. This is about life. And I just want to present a couple things to you today. And I almost hesitate to even say these things to you because as soon as I talk about ways for you to pursue intimacy with God, then it starts to sound a lot like our Christian and Messianic Jewish self-help books. Doesn't it? It starts to sound like, well, if you just live this list, if you just fast the right way, if you just tie your tzitzit the right way, if you just celebrate the right things, then God's going to be pleased and life is going to be lollipops and gumdrops, right? But the reality is that God has called us into an utter dependence on the Holy Spirit so that what I have permission for in my life, you don't. You don't get permission to dress like me, talk like me, be me, only me. Right? There are things that we share in common, but there are individual gifts and callings. And some of us may not even be able to celebrate the same fasts, the same festivals. Can you believe that it would actually be disobedience for a person to show up here on Shabbat? If you can believe that, then you believe in the dynamic and the living God of the universe, who calls us to an obedience that is bigger than structure, that is bigger than the boxes that we build, that is bigger than Messianic Judaism. He has called us into a divine and holy intimacy with him. And so I almost hesitate to say, well, like, this is a couple of ways that you can enter into intimacy with the living God because it's so unique. Because it is much more like falling in love than following a list. It's why, like, marriage help books are so interesting to me. Right? Because it's like, do these 10 things and your marriage will be sunshine and puppies and lambs. And I'm not sure about that. Because living a list with my wife, which I've tried to do sometimes, is death. Living a list and actually thinking that somehow intimacy is going to come out of it is death. You know what is life in my relationship with my wife? For me to shut up for once and listen. That's what I'm saying. There you go, right? Thank you. So why do we think intimacy with the God of the universe is somehow different? He has given us, we know that marriage is a picture of our relationship with Messiah. He's given it as a picture. And how often do we just shut up and listen? You know? So, in spite of my hesitations, I believe that there are a couple things that I'm supposed to share with you today, and I just want them to be checks, if you will, okay? So, like, if you feel like you're not intimate with the living God, if you feel like he's distant, he's not. We know from Jeremiah that if we seek him, we will find him, but only if we seek with what? Whole hearts. Everything that is inside of you, seeking God, he will be found by you. So we know that him being distant is not the reality. The reality is that I believe that when we feel distant from him, we need to investigate. And so maybe think of these as tools potentially to use to investigate your spiritual walk. Both of them come from John chapter 15. Both of them are right there at the beginning. So think of these as just checks. They're not the two ways that you must pursue intimacy with God. As I was reading through the book of John, And specifically John 15, there's this intimacy. You know, John had an intimate relationship with Yeshua, very close to Yeshua. And yet it's John, when he beholds Yeshua in his glory, who falls down on his face like dead. And yet it's John who records this beautiful thing in John 15 about intimacy life flowing from our connection with Yeshua. What if we were all already intimate with God before we showed up at Beth Yeshua? I don't think I've ever experienced it, guys. And I'm not saying that it's on you, it's often on me. I'm saying, like, what if we actually showed up already intimate with the living God? Can you imagine the sweetness of our fellowship together? That is God's vision for the body. God's vision is for the bride to be constantly connected to the husband, ready, waiting for his movement. Ready and waiting. I wonder how often, if we were genuinely intimate with him as a group, we would all find ourselves here on a Tuesday morning, taking off from work because God told us to, meeting together to pray because he told us to come here and seek him together. But we don't think that way, do we? We think of these nice categories for our lives. There's 10 steps to this too, right? How to plan and structure your week. And so, like, maybe God is part of that for you. Maybe you sit down with your day planner on, you know, Sunday evening or whatever, and you pray through and you ask God, like, where are these chunks supposed to fit? But I don't even think that's dynamic enough, because I feel like God is wanting jazz from us. And right now we're just kind of playing the same umchucks that we've been playing since the 60s. I need to get a hold of Dad's accordion. I think that would be really fun, by the way. That's a total aside. Dissecting intimacy is a dangerous thing. It's a living thing. Intimacy with God is a living thing. And so I just want to say, if this does not help you pursue intimacy, forget it, please, okay? Because my desire as we dissect intimacy is not to kill this beautiful living thing with God. I am the true vine, Yeshua says. This is John 15, verse 1. And my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Guys, your pruning is distinctly yours. The gardener does not trim each branch exactly the same way. Our God is a God who loves distinction for mutual blessing. He makes you you and says, that's good, because he has plans for you that are distinctly yours. And he prunes you then in a different way than he prunes me. And probably if he pruned me in the same way he was pruning you, I wouldn't be able to handle it. But he doesn't do that. He doesn't make those mistakes, because he's the living God. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Guys, I think we need to move away from once saved, always saved. Magic prayers. I don't read that in the Bible. What I read is a Messiah who says, if you're following me and even driving out demons, but you're doing it in your own way and you're not actually in love with me, I'm going to say, go away. I don't know you. These are branches. Branches that are coming out of the vine and bearing no fruit. Guys, we need to investigate the fruit of our lives. And I don't know that that's something that we can do on our own, because I don't know about you, but I'm really, really blind to my own shortcomings. Most of the time I can only see my own shortcomings when I see them reflected in another person. I'm like, why is that person so angry all the time? God's like, why are you so angry all the time? I'm like, this isn't about me. It's about them. And this is what Yeshua taught, right, with the beam and the splinter. He said, careful now, right? Most of the time what you're seeing is actually your beam. So I want that to be a check for us within our lives. The fruit of our lives. Are we bearing love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control as a body? If we are gossiping and slandering and envious of one another, we are not bearing godly fruit. We will be cut off. We will be thrown into the fire. So we need to make sure that we look at our own lives. I think it even works as a movement. What is the fruit of Messianic Judaism? It's a different sermon. One I've already given, actually. You can go listen. It's on the pod. Thingamabobber. So a couple of clues here. First of all, it is a direct connection. There are no branches coming through my branch and into him. There are no branches where your connection goes through another person. This is meant to be direct, personal, face-to-face intimacy with the living God. Stop asking for a king. Don't ask for a king. Go up the mountain yourself. Ask God if you can see him yourself. When we did that to Moses, we sinned. When we asked for Saul, we sinned. God has always desired to rule over us himself in direct intimacy. You know, if you don't like my words, chances are you're going to go listen to somebody else's words. I would encourage you, just don't listen to any of us. Listen to God. Now, that's not to say that we shouldn't have fellowship. I believe in fellowship, because when people go off by themselves and they think they're listening to God, they develop all sorts of weirdness. So you need other people in your life that you can actually trust to speak into your life and say, that's weirdness. What are you doing? And do you have friends like that? Because if you don't have friends like that, you don't have friends. You have people. And everybody's got people. You've got an entourage. They'll tell you how fabulous you are till you run out of money. I mean, it's like the prodigal son all over again. We need direct intimacy with the living God, and we also need fellowship. But your relationship with God can no longer come through books, TVs, special sermons by anybody. It can't come through me. It can't go through your spouse. It doesn't go through your children. It's a direct connection with the living God. This is what he has always desired. So check yourself. What are you consuming during the week that you think is intimacy? Because if it's not just the word and then being quiet before him, you may not actually be pursuing intimacy. I love Christian books. I'm reading this one right now called The Naked Church, which is really an incredible book. It's not as terrible as it sounds. It's actually quite phenomenal. It's this metaphor of the emperor who has no clothes on, right? And he's saying, guys, we've got serious issues in the church. We have serious issues and nobody's talking about it. We're just tickling each other's ears and finding new ways to live better lists, and it's all gonna burn. Right? And so, anyways, that's a great book, but if I just read that book and I think that that's my intimacy with God, no. My intimacy with God is to be quiet. And I got to tell you, my life is busy right now. You may have a busy life. I'm not saying yours isn't. I'm just saying mine is crazy right now. So finding God and time for him has been exciting and hard. And I feel like it's hilarious that God is saying to me, to tell you about intimacy. And of course, how can I possibly do that without pursuing him myself, right? So that's the first tool, if you will. Look at your life. Look at what you're consuming. Are you consuming other things? Are you consuming through mediators, through other things? Is it coming through a filter? Or are you going to God? Like, I don't believe you have to go to seminary to know this, to know his word, and to even correctly interpret it, because he gives you his Holy Spirit. So I don't believe that, you know, like I need to come with the Greek and the Hebrew word study in order for us to get something out of the word. I don't believe that. I don't believe you need that either. All you need is a willingness and an open heart, and he will move in you. All he wants is intimacy. And then the second thing is remain in me. It's a constant connection. Paul said that he would pray without ceasing. Are you remaining in constant connection with Yeshua? I'm really quick in my own life to forgive myself for why I'm not. I am crazy busy. I have so many much things to do. And it's all starting to feel a little bit like excuses now. Constant connection is life. Everything else withers up, is chopped off, and is thrown into the fire. Remain in me. Constant connection. And I love the fact that he ties it to something physical and concrete in our world, because we know that this is the way plants work. If you rip off a branch and leave it by itself, it dies. This is not rocket science. And that's the beauty of this, is that he's saying this is intimacy and nothing else. And then in the same breath, he's talking about us being pruned too. Why is life difficult? He may want you to have difficulty in your life. When was the last time you really learned a character lesson because everything was perfect? God is bringing us to intimacy. So my concern is this, guys. My concern is that I could preach this, you could hear this, we could not do this. My concern is that that would be the death of our body. Maybe slowly, but that would be the death of our body. I don't believe God is going to allow the sham of Christianity or Messianic Judaism to continue. It's either going to be true believers or get out. And then the second thing is this, guys. When I read Jeremiah 29 about seeking him with all of his heart, he was talking to a generation that was actually going to die. A generation that was going to die in captivity because their hearts were not going to turn to him. 70 years, he said. 70 years. That generation was going to die, and the next generation was going to have to come up, growing up within that, to finally get hungry in their hearts to seek God. And that was the only way they were going to go back to the land from Babylon. The only way. I don't want to be part of the generation that dies. I feel honestly, guys, like we've grown up in a generation of church that is self-focused and self-medicating. And we have grown up in that structure. And that's why it's not just what he's saying to me. He's saying it to you. He's saying, aren't you hungry for more? Aren't you hungry for real God intimacy? And more than just once a week, but all the time. Aren't you hungry to know when you have permission from the Holy Spirit to lay hands on people with cancer and it's gone? Aren't you hungry to know when it's the right time to say to somebody the words of life and they come to know Messiah face to face? Aren't you hungry for that? If you're not, then your heart is still in captivity, but there's good news. If your heart is struck right here at this moment, you say, no, I'm not really hungry for that, he can wake you up. This reminds me of what my mom used to do with me all the time when I was so full of rage as a child. And I'd be so angry. Are you willing to forgive? No! Are you willing to be willing to forgive? No! Are you willing to be willing to be willing to forgive? What? Still very angry. But maybe God can take your weak little yes and magnify it and amplify it and build a hunger inside of you for deeper things. And that's what we need. We need to actually really be hungry for it. I can't just tell you, hey, seek intimacy. And you're like, sweet, gonna do it. Put that on my list for the week. It's hunger. For those of you who have fallen in love, do you remember pursuing a person in love? Do you remember pursuing that one and trying to make them yours? Do you remember the hunger that you had for their voice, the hunger that you had for their presence? It's just a shadow of the reality, and He will give you that hunger. We know from His Word that it is the Holy Spirit that works in our inner man, inside the deepest part of us, to pour out love and to show us the incredible vastness of our Messiah and His love. So invite the Holy Spirit to make you hungry, to make you hungry for real life. And then that would be a Beth Yeshua that would be almost too exciting, right? If we all came on a Shabbat and we were hungry for God together. Hungry for Him. I feel like we've been almost anesthetized. We've been desensitized to our hunger for God. We come almost to Beth Yeshua expecting it to be pretty normal, right? I mean, most of you can predict pretty much what's going to happen on any given Shabbat. Now, I know, I've got serious issues with structure. But I'm just saying, like, I don't know that we serve a predictable God. Almost every time prophets come and they talk about what God is going to do, the nation says, God doesn't work that way. Which prophet is it that argues with God? And he's like, no, why would you send the Assyrians? What? You're God. You don't do that. Which one? Well, Jonah didn't, yeah, but there was another one, right? He, like, argues. He's up on top of the wall. Is it Hezekiah? Is it Obadiah? I don't know. One of them argues with God, and he's like, really, the Assyrians? You wouldn't do that. You're a loving God. God's like, that's right, and that's why I'm sending them. Do you guys remember in that psalm? Rejoice, let the earth be glad, because God is coming to judge the earth. We pray, please, God, don't judge us. Please, God, don't judge America for being just a terrible place. Please, God, have mercy on us. How about we rejoice in His judgment? God, bring the book of Revelation. Bring it. Though it be terrible. Bring it. Because at the end of it, He is reigning personally and intimately and wiping away our tears finally. Everything else is just stuff. I know. So why don't we just say, God, bring Your judgment. Let His judgment fall on our nation. If we've been coasting on grace, I mean, we murder so many babies. My mercy. But how would we even know, unless we're intimate with Him, that He would actually want to bring judgment? God often works through the physical, so yeah.
Because I saw some footage of that tornado in Moore, and it was gigantic.
Yeah.
I mean, only something God can do.
Yeah, people often attribute natural disasters to the enemy. No, He doesn't have the authority to do natural disasters. Our God does. Our God does. The earth quakes before Him, right? We just read it today in the book of Revelation, right? As these things go on, the earth quakes. It's God. It's God. So, yes, I'm concerned for other people. I'm very concerned about His judgment in my life too, which is why I tell you hard things. You know, I could come and like, hey, lollipops, and let's all sing Hinei Matov and be one new olive tree thing. And instead, He's saying intimacy, intimacy, intimacy is the only, I'm accountable before God before you. Even if I have no idea who you are, I'm accountable before God before you, which is why I would say these weird things. God, we love you. We do. So many of us, I can see in eyes and hearts, God, we just love you. And we're asking for you to stir up more hunger for you, God. Please, God, we've been so satisfied by all the other things in our lives, and we need you to produce deeper hunger. I need it so much in my own life, God. I get so distracted. I like gadgets and gizmos and entertainment and all these other things, and I feel like they satisfy me. But God, you, I want you. You know I do. I want you to take my little yes to you. I want to know you, God. I want to know you and all of our little yeses. God, we want to know you. We want to know you. Would you pour out your Holy Spirit on us? Yeshua, you promised that it would be poured out on us. be poured out on us. I don't want a trickle. I want the fullness of the outpouring of your Holy Spirit in our lives so that we would be hungry for you, that nothing else would satisfy us anymore. That food wouldn't satisfy us anymore. Entertainment wouldn't satisfy us. Jobs wouldn't satisfy us. Homes, cars, air conditioning. God, let us be satisfied only by you. Please, God. We want to see your face like Moses. I'm going to be bold. I'm going to say, God, I really want to see you in your reality, though it be a terrifying thing. I want to see you, God. I want to know you. And I know so many others in this room want to see you too, God. We want to see you. We do. God, I pray that as we get together corporately, that you would stir up and amplify our hunger, that our hunger for you, God, would feed each other like flame. God, that flame joining to flame, joining to flame, we would be something new and unique all together as we pursue you and want you and are hungry for you. God. And I don't want to just talk about this, God. Please, God, let us be doers of your word. Give us self-control. Please, God, let us live what we say. Please, God. We know you want to stir up this hunger in a lot of other people around us, God. In the people that don't know you, the people that are far from you, the people that if we really read our word, we know will be separated in a burning eternity apart from you. God, give us your love for them. Let us see how vast your love is for the people around us that are dying. God, send us, give us your words. God, give us your fire. Give us your grace so that we'd be able to invite more people into this hunger. And Yeshua, we can't wait. We can't wait for you to come and reign in power. I can't wait for the day when your foot comes to strike the earth once again and you bring judgment upon the enemies of God. Let it be soon. God, we know your heart is to bring as many as possible to you before that fearsome and awesome day. Please, God, use us. Use us. We want to be used by you to gather whoever you have in mind. God, I pray that when we come, even week to week at Beth Yeshua, we would not be satisfied by anything less than intimacy with you. That we would not be satisfied. God, I pray that you would give us individual accountability. God, the ability to actually look at our own lives, to slow down, to self-reflect, and to see where we are not yours. Give us the ability to pursue you directly. We've made into idols so many people and so many things. We don't want those gods. We want you. We want you. Your words. I pray, God, that your word would come in a sweet way to each open heart. That your voice would come in a sweet way to each open heart.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, worship his holy name. Bless. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Yes, I worship You. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. I'll worship Your holy name.
We exert the will that You have given us, God. Sovereignly, You have given us choice and a will, and we exert our will over our soul and everything that is inside of us, and we say, self, love God. Worship Him and Him alone. Love Him in song and in work and in everything that we do. Soul, deepest parts of us come into alignment with the living God. Love Him in spirit and in truth and worship Him. We choose You on purpose, God, because You chose us first. We love You on purpose, God, because You loved us first.
Welcome to the Beth Yeshua Podcast. For teachings and more, go to www.bethyeshua.org.